take your Bibles and open them to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, if we confess our sins. It's interesting that from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end of the Bible, and every point in between, it all is focused in the same direction to the climax that's coming, to the day that Jesus comes again. Whew, it's going to be good. That's all. It's going to be good. All right. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and I pleaded with him in a prayer and petition and fasting in sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We've been wicked and we rebelled. We turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all of Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings and our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us, because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as was written, as is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, and while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in a swift flight from about the time of the evening sacrifice, and he instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people in your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up a vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed ruler comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. And after 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7, but in the middle of that seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And one who causes desolation will place abominations on a wing of the temple until the end that is decreed is poured out upon him. Father, I ask you to help us, Lord, tonight in multiple ways. Help us to understand the importance of seeing what prayer is all about. It's being in a right relationship with you. It's communicating and being communicated with by you, Lord. It's opening up our heart and allowing you, Father, to speak directly to us. And Lord, just like Daniel did, help us, Lord, to confess our own sins. Personally, as a body, as a nation, Lord, help us to confess our sins. Because you told us if we'll confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, you have a plan for Israel. You have a plan for this world. You have a plan for this church. You have a plan for our nation. You have a plan, Lord. But when we don't obey you, we walk outside of your plan and we walk outside of your protection and we walk outside, Father, into a world that hates you and can't stand you, Lord. Help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want you to see is when Daniel begins to pray, he begins to pray according to the Word of God. He'd just been reading through Jeremiah, by the way. The prophet Jeremiah had been sent to Israel earlier to again warn them to come back to God. Isn't it interesting how often somebody has to try to tell people to come back to God? I mean, wouldn't we want to stay there? Wouldn't we want to be in His presence? But Daniel had read through Jeremiah and he knew that the 70 years of exile was almost over. In fact, he'd been a captive there for about 67 years at this point. He was taken captive in 605 B.C., and the first year of Darius' reign was 538 B.C. So for about 67 years, Daniel had been away from Jerusalem. So he knew the time was coming to an end. He knew because he had been reading Jeremiah. And he was praying according to the Word of God. I think a lot of times we pray and want something to happen, but it doesn't line up with God's Word. God's not going to meet that prayer. Or He's not going to answer it the way we want Him to answer it. We often pray according to our wills and our wants, don't we? But Daniel knew, because Daniel had read, and Daniel had been in God's Word, and Daniel had been praying every single day for the people to be able to go back to Jerusalem. Pray according to His Word. He was reading His Word and he was praying the Word. In fact, Jeremiah 29:10 through 12 says it exactly, and this is where he picks it up. This is what the Lord says: when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. That's exactly what Daniel was doing. Exactly what Daniel was doing. He was praying according to God's Word. He secondly was praying with humility. His attitude. The Scripture says he was praying in sackcloth and ashes. This was the ultimate picture of humility. It was saying, I'm not worthy to even be praying. I'm not worthy. I'm a as Paul says, I'm an unclean man. I don't even deserve to be in your presence, God. This was the position of Daniel's heart. And I wonder how many times we just burst into the presence of God and say, God, this is my wish list. This is my needs today. Hey, can you meet these needs? And I'm on my way. His attitude was, I have to realize who I am and who God is. And when I come into the presence of God, I'm not worthy to be there. I am not worthy to be there. Not only in his attitude and his actions, fasting. Instead of feeding on the physical food, we feed on spiritual food. Have you ever noticed in Scripture, by the way, fasting is always connected with prayer? Prayer and fasting. Boy, we don't mind talking about prayer, but we don't want to be doing the fasting part, do we? Fasting is just as critical. It's just as important. Instead of feeding on physical food, we need to feed on spiritual food. That's what Daniel was doing right here. He was feeding on God's Word. And because of it, it drove him to his knees. A reminder that my need for Him is much greater than my need for what this world has to offer. That's what fasting is all about. You know, we think that we can't make it a whole day without eating something. Guess what? You can. Praying according to His Word. Praying with humility. And listen, in verses 3 and 4, he begins to pray intensely. Look at what it says. So I turned to the Lord God and I pleaded with Him in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. There was an intensity. There was a fervent prayer coming from the heart of Daniel. I pleaded with the Lord. The Hebrew term here is the same term that's used when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. You remember that? And when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, what he did was he held on and he says, I am not letting go till you bless me. When's the last time you prayed so hard? You just said, God, I'm not leaving this place until you do what I know you can do. It means hanging on and not letting go. You know, sometimes I think that we treat our prayer time as something we do to get out of the way, and then we go do what we're going to do. But it was never intended to be like that. That's why Paul says, pray without ceasing. It means to stay in His presence. It means to abide. It means being in His presence all day long. The actual word is an empathetic imperative, which denotes extreme intensity. There's no doubt that Daniel, in this position, was probably prostrate before God and crying out to Him. James chapter 5, verse 16 says it like this: the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You see the point here, though? The prayer of what? A righteous person. How do you get right with God? You confess your sin. And that's what Daniel had been doing. And that's what Daniel continues to do. And for multiple verses afterwards, he continues to confess the sins of himself and of his people. This is spiritual warfare. I think a lot of times we think, oh, spiritual warfare is something I do when I get out into the world and I got to go out there and wield the sword of the Spirit and I got to make sure I got on my breastplate of righteousness and all those things about the spiritual, you know, warfare, the belt of truth. We think we have to have all those things in place, and we do, but that's not the warfare. Because at the end of Ephesians chapter 5, when it's talking about the spiritual warfare, what it's talking about is prayer. That's where the warfare is. You know why? Because the warfare, the scripture says we're not battling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and authorities. And we somehow get this concept in our mind that it's all about us and them out there. Everybody that doesn't know Jesus. Remember this. People that don't know Jesus are not our enemies. Satan is our enemy. They are the prize. He is fervent in his prayer and he's succinct. He gets right to the point. Listen, folks, God knows when we're just hem-hawing and trying to come up with something to pray about. Daniel prays exactly what he means. I mean, look at some of this. Lord, you're righteous, verse 7 says, but this day we are covered with shame. Verse 11, all of Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. He gets right to the point. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says, and when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. You know what? Daniel prays and he gets right to the point. And he says what needs to be said. He prays intensely. He prays with confession. Verses 4 through 14 is his absolute confession. He starts it out by being praiseful. In verse 4 he says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with all who love Him and obey His commands. I've often been taught growing up that the first thing you ought to do when you pray is praise God. Why? Why is that? Why should that be first? It copies the Lord's Prayer. What else? Because He's worthy. You know, we don't just come in and say, God, this is what I need. And oh, by the way, I praise you, Lord, on the way out. You know, that doesn't even make sense. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody extremely important in the world's eyes? I got to go to the inauguration of George Bush as the governor of Texas. The only reason I got to go is because my pastor friend knew him and invited me to go, so I got to go. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. I'm going to get to meet George Bush. You know, this is, you know, he wasn't even close to being president yet, but he was the governor. He was being inaugurated as the governor of Texas. So I got to meet him and his wife, Laura, and I thought this was really cool. And I was a little bit impressed that I got to see these people. And then when I was walking out of there, I thought, you know what? They're just people. They're just people. But I get to walk into the sanctuary of our holy, awesome, powerful God. Because the way has been made by the blood of Jesus. And when I'm in His presence, I ought to be praising Him for who He is. Daniel begins with praise, and he reminds us of who God is. And then he gets really specific. He starts to call sin what it is. You see, if we don't deal truthfully about our sins, why would God even listen? Because God is all truth. So we can't come in and kind of mumble around it and try to push it off to the side a little bit or just kind of touch on it as we go by it. We need to call sin what it is. If it's lying, it's lying. That's what it is. Daniel does not excuse the sins of his nation. You know, I think growing up, I used to think, well, God blesses America because America is a good nation. And in my younger years, they were better than they are now. That's for sure. Because people really did care about people and people tried to follow God. And for the most part, stores were all closed on Sunday because people were in church. And I mean, it was different back then. But you know what? God wasn't blessing America because we're America. God was blessing America because America was blessing Him. And we've stopped doing that as a nation. We don't think it's so important anymore as a nation. And one of the reasons we don't is because most churches don't think it's that important anymore. I think a lot of people just go to church because it's something they're supposed to do. Daniel began by saying, there is no excuse for what our nation has done. Then verses 15 through 19, he begins to pray for God's glory to return. You see, He's the reason we pray. He is the Lord our God. The Scripture calls Him Adonai, our Lord and Master. And see, we are praying because of who He is. And it's all about His glory. And when He's not being glorified and when He's not being lifted up, it is our fault. But Jesus said this, and remember this. If you don't lift me up, the rocks and the hills will cry out. Because God is going to get glory. It's all about His glory, not our gain. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's all about Him. He deserves the glory. James chapter 4, verse 3 says it like this. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. How often are our prayers all about us and not about Him? And Daniel finished up by praying, believing. Verses 20 through 23, he knew that God was already at work because he'd read Jeremiah. And while he was praying and confessing, he knew that God was already in the process of getting the people ready to come back to Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24 says it like this, "Before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear." You see, before Daniel finished praying, God was already answering. Gabriel had come for a second visit. In fact, Gabriel even says, "Listen, I was already on the way because as soon as you began to pray," verse 23 says, "an answer was given and I've come to tell you that answer." I have come because God's already answering your prayer. You see, folks, if then, if I'll confess my sins, then He's faithful to forgive me my sins. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. We need to pray according to His Word. We need to pray with humility. We need to pray intensely. We need to pray with confession. We need to pray for His glory. And we need to pray believing. And all God's people said, amen. Father, help us, Lord. We need Your help. It is not about us. It's about You. And I think many times, Father, our whole process seems to be about what are we going to do? What's going to be happening and what do we have to try to accomplish so that we can have some kind of program that somehow pleases You. Lord, it's all about You.